Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our brother Jesus, who is both our brother, our Lord, and our Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, did any of you grow up having a big brother? I did. Having a big brother can be a tremendously positive thing in our life. If someone is picking on you, you can ask your big brother to go and ask them to leave you alone. If mom or dad have something that they want done around the house, mowing the lawn or washing the car, who better to do that than your big brother? At the same time, sometimes having a big brother is not always that fun. There are times when we are not allowed to do something that our big brother is allowed to do simply because he is older, and to a little brother or a little sister, that just does not seem fair. And at times, our mom or our dad may tell our big brother to do something while they are gone, and then as soon as their car leaves the driveway, he turns around and says, "You better have that done by the time they get back." Yes, in many families, there is indeed a pecking order that seems to be followed. The picture of having a big brother is a picture that kept going through my mind as I was studying our sermon text for today. And the reason for that, my friends, is because as I was looking at this text, I saw what I considered to be bookends on this portion of Scripture. Our text begins with, "But we see Jesus." Our text then ends with, "So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers." Bookends. Clearly, Jesus is indeed the focus of our sermon text for today. And since Jesus is the focus of this portion of Scripture, let's study it under the theme, the best big brother of all. There are three points that I want to emphasize this morning. And since I saw bookends in our sermon text for today, I tried to make sure that I put bookends in each of our three main points. Point number one, our brother Jesus was willing to be humbled and is now worthy of being exalted. Point number two, our brother Jesus was willing to suffer and is now worthy of being the author of our salvation. And point number three, our brother Jesus was willing to become a part of our family so that we could be worthy of being a part of his family. The book of Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians who were being pressured to renounce their faith in Jesus as the promised Messiah and go back. Go back to the old ways. Go back to the ways and the traditions of their ancestors. This entire book, my friends, is designed to remind these Hebrew Christians that there is nothing, nothing to go back to. Jesus of Nazareth is the fulfillment of all the messianic prophecies that the Lord their God had given to their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In short, Christianity is the fulfillment of Judaism. The difficulty, however, both for these Jewish Christians who first read these words as well as for us, the difficulty is that the reality of our day-to-day life does not always look as victorious as it is. Our life is all too often punctuated by pain and persecution. Instead of basking in the thrill of victory, it all too often seems as though we're languishing in what appears to be a defeat. That's why this entire letter, and that's why our text for today, focuses our attention on Jesus, the best big brother of all. With that, let's turn to the text we have before us. In the opening verse of our text, we're told, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone." This one verse of Scripture beautifully describes for us both Jesus' state of humiliation as well as Jesus' state of exaltation. In his state of humiliation, we see the eternal Son of God, our brother Jesus, who was willing to set aside the full use of his divine power, majesty, and glory. In his state of humiliation, the eternal Son of God, our brother Jesus, was willing to be made a little lower than the angels whom he himself had created. In his state of humiliation, the eternal Son of God, our brother Jesus, was willing to be beaten, mocked, spit upon, and scourged. And in his state of humiliation, the eternal Son of God, our brother Jesus, was willing to suffer death itself. But is that how we see our brother Jesus now, hanging on a cross, beaten and bloodied by mortal sinful human beings? Absolutely not. Now we see Jesus in his state of exaltation, crowned with glory and honor, as we read in our text. Now we see our brother Jesus in his state of exaltation, sitting at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, once again draped in his eternal divine power, majesty, and glory, and surrounded by all the saints and all the angels of heaven above. When we look at our brother Jesus, who was willing to be humbled, and is now worthy of being exalted, why is it so glorious to know that this is our big brother? Because of what we're told in our text, my friends, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Do we have any reason whatsoever to fear death? No, not at all. Why? Because our brother Jesus not only tasted death for us, but he conquered death by physically rising from the grave on the third day. Do we have reason to hope when someone we love dies? Absolutely. Why? Because our brother Jesus, who tasted death for us, our brother Jesus, who is now crowned with glory and honor, our brother Jesus has given to us his solemn promise. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. In my Father's house are many rooms. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, Jesus says, I will come back. I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. Yes, my friends, when we see Jesus, we see the best big brother of all. He was willing to be humbled and is now worthy of being exalted. The second point we want to emphasize is that Jesus is the best big brother of all in that he was willing to suffer and is now worthy of being the author of our salvation. Look at verse 10. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Since the Lord our God is the almighty creator of heaven and earth, since the Lord our God is the one for whom and through whom everything exists, the Lord our God has both the power and the right to determine who will live with him in the glory of his heavenly home and who will not. God's standard of justice, my friends, God's requirements for living with him in his eternal heavenly home is perfection and holiness. Anything less than perfection, anything short of holiness, is sin. And God considers every single sin as being worthy of death. But the Lord our God loves us so much that he did not want us to die, especially not eternally. Therefore, in his grace and in his mercy, the Lord God freely provided salvation for all of mankind. And as the writer to the Hebrews brings out here in our text, God's plan for our salvation has always focused on making the author, the originator of our salvation, perfect or complete through suffering. What this means, my friends, is twofold. First of all, it means that in order for Jesus to reach his goal of being the author of salvation for all of mankind, he had to be willing to suffer the punishment that we deserve. He had to be willing to die on the cross in order to pay for all of our sins. Second, the fact that Jesus was willing to suffer as our substitute, the fact that Jesus was willing to die on the cross to completely pay for all of our sins, means that our salvation is perfect. Our salvation is complete. The entire debt of all of our sins has now been stamped, paid in full. There is nothing that we need to do in order to be saved, because the author of our salvation has been made perfect through suffering. There is no accusation that Satan can bring against us, because the author of our salvation has been made perfect through suffering. The gift of eternal life in heaven is ours because the author of our salvation has been made perfect through suffering. With that truth clearly before our eyes, we can see and say that Jesus is the best big brother of all. He was willing to suffer so that he would be worthy of being the author of our salvation. That brings us to the final verse of our text, as well as the final point that we want to take home with us today. Jesus is the best big brother of all, in that he was willing to become a part of our family so that we would be worthy of being a member of his family. Look at verse 11. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. These verses once again bring out some very important truths, truths that we will want to make sure that we take home with us today. First of all, the writer to the Hebrews once again reminds us of the true meaning of Christmas. The true Son of God came into this world as the true Son of Man. He took on a true human nature. He became fully human. He was willing to become a part of our earthly human family. And the reason, my friends, the reason that Jesus, the eternal Son of God, was willing to become a part of our family was so that he could make you holy in the eyes of the Heavenly Father, thereby making you worthy of being an adopted child of the one and only living God. Yes, because of what our brother Jesus has done for us, our status in the eyes of God has been completely changed. Instead of looking at us and seeing us as poor, miserable human beings who deserve his punishment both now and in eternity, now our Heavenly Father looks at us and he sees us as Jesus, dearly beloved brothers and sisters. And so always remember, my friends, always remember that because your brother Jesus was willing to become a part of our earthly family, you are now worthy of being a special member of God's family while you are here on this earth, and a spectacular member of God's family forever in heaven. Those of us who grew up having a big brother know that having a big brother can indeed be a mixed blessing. There are days when we truly appreciate the support and the guidance and the protection and the help of our big brother. Then there are days when we might wish that our big brother wasn't quite so big. Those of us who are a big brother also realize that being a big brother is indeed a mixed blessing. There are days when we enjoy being there for our little brother or our little sister, and then there are days when we may not relish the responsibilities that come with being a big brother. Thank God, my friends, that as Christians, we know that Jesus is the best big brother of all. Thank God that because our big brother Jesus was willing to be humbled, he is now worthy of being exalted. Thank God that because our big brother Jesus was willing to suffer, he is now worthy of being the author of our salvation. And thank God that because our big brother Jesus was willing to become a part of our earthly family, we are now worthy of being a member of his eternal family in heaven above. And so, yes, thank God that Jesus is the best big brother of all. To God be the glory. Amen.